So the other day, I wanted to buy a wireless vacuum cleaner to replace the one that I had at home because it had broken down. And while I usually go to a Flipkart or an Amazon to buy these kind of products, this time I thought I'll check on one of these quick commerce apps. And it was right there, and there was also a good discount, and I had it delivered to me in under 15 minutes. Shobori, have you bought anything recently on these quick commerce apps apart from groceries?
Yeah, Mugda, I recently bought earphones and makeup on Blinkit on two separate occasions and honestly was pleasantly surprised at the speed at which they were delivered and also made me think that these products are the same irrespective of the retailer, right? So why wait for 2 days for Amazon to deliver? While quick commerce apps such as Blinkit and Zepto were so far our go-to recourse for groceries and urgently needed home items such as soap or shampoo, consumers are now looking for a range of products on these apps, and these players are happy to oblige. So while you add vegetables to your cart, you also add some jewelry. While you're looking for face wash, why not add a lipstick? And when you're looking for tomatoes, might as well buy a t-shirt and a toy.
Absolutely. And Shobori, it looks like it's not just us.
I mean, there was this time when I was going to be outdoors the whole day, and I realized that my phone battery is not the best and I wanted a portable charger at 10 p.m. in the night. Luckily, I got the portable charger through Instamart, Swiggy Instamart, along with the wire and everything for really cheap in 10 minutes. So that made life a lot easier.
So actually, I recently bought a white t-shirt from Zepto for about 300 rupees. And it came to me under 10 minutes. And to my surprise, it was like a really good quality t-shirt.
I was actually going on a trip and I forgot my earphones at home. And which is when one of my friends suggested me to order a pair of earphones on Blinkit. And the quality was pretty decent.
But this means that Blinkit, Zepto and Swiggy's Instamart are now stepping into the turf of e-commerce OGs like Amazon and Flipkart.
And clearly the quick commerce players seem to have alarmed the e-commerce incumbents. Flipkart is now making a comeback again into the quick commerce play, which is its third attempt in this format. And Amazon has also started reevaluating its grocery play in the country. So can quick commerce take on the e-commerce behemoths? That's what we will discuss in this episode with Zepto CEO Adit Palicha and retail consultant Devangshu Datta. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of April. I'm Mugdha Warrier.
And I'm Shobari Das. And you are listening to Quick Commerce versus E-commerce, the need for speed in retail. It was 10 years ago when OG hyperlocal delivery company Dunzo came up. Back then, no one would have thought that in a decade, this channel will deliver a lipstick or a t-shirt or even an iPhone at your doorstep in 10 minutes. But here we are. But while Dunzo did not stand the test of time, newer players have been happily taking its place and thriving. In recent months, quick delivery startups Blinkit, Zepto, Swiggy, Instamart have expanded their categories to include products that one would usually fire up the apps of e-commerce platforms such as Amazon and Flipkart. According to research firm Datum Intelligence, over 40% of all online grocery sales are now through quick commerce channels, and this could go up to 50% by next year. And the user base is only growing. As per Local Circle's estimates, the quick commerce user base in the country currently is approximately 11 million, of which 54% are male consumers. In the next few years, quick commerce could reach up to 25 million households, as per Bank of America. But how are quick commerce players gearing up to take on Amazon and Flipkart? Mukta, you had an interesting conversation with Zepto CEO Adit Palicha, right? So let's listen into that chat.
Adit, thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Brief. I think in mid or around the end of 2021 was when the quick commerce story really took off. And that's also when Zepto really started in India. And I remember at that time, it was thought of this pandemic boosted trend because people were not wanting to step out of their homes and all of that. And people thought this really won't be a sustainable model. And here we are in 2024 and, you know, we're talking about Zepto and Blinkit taking on the likes of Amazon and Flipkart. So according to you, is there now a product market fit, at least in the metros, for quick commerce?
Yeah, no, firstly, it's wonderful being here, Mugdha. Thanks for having me. To answer your question on product market fit, so, you know, absolutely there's product market fit. I mean, customers love the product. They told us that qualitatively in the conversations that we had with them, and they told it to us quantitatively in the retention. And we're talking about 800 to 1,000 basis points better retention compared to food delivery, about 1,000 basis points better retention than ride sharing. And the reason for that is, obviously, delivering groceries in 10 minutes is not only a convenience factor, but it also feeds into the way that Indians buy groceries. I think the biggest insight is that Indians buy groceries in small tickets multiple times a week, right? And this format of commerce has catered to that use case beautifully well. We think that this is the format of grocery in India, especially for the top 40 cities, where, to be frank, that's where majority of the value of grocery is spent. So we don't look at going into rural Jharkhand or rural Rajasthan to build a massive business. We can build a $10, $20 billion sales business realistically in the top 40 to 45 cities where there's a power law of value.
So Adit, will quick commerce be a metro play for now? And how many cities is Zepto live in at present?
You know, we're live in about 10 cities. But yeah, to answer your question, is this purely metro? So it's not purely metro. Even if you look at our competitors, they do fairly well in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. And in some cases, actually, the tier 2 and tier 3 cities are actually better on economics and on growth than metro cities. And I'll explain why, right? I think the insight is, it's not about affluence that drives product market fit in this model. It's actually about quality of offline options. We've got competitors that are live in everywhere from Kozhikode to Patiala to Siliguri, and they do phenomenally well. But even if you look at our current data, so there are, we've got geographies on the outskirts of major cities, like, for example, a Palava or a Mira Road, or deep into Thane, right? And that's, these are some examples in Mumbai, or on the outskirts of Bangalore. These geographies actually have the same household income and household density dynamics as a tier 2 city. Those geographies, you'll be surprised to know, Mugdha, are actually more profitable for us, and they're growing faster than the metro, pure play metro cities. And the reason why that is because, A, like I mentioned, the offline options for customers in these geographies are not fantastic, and these geographies are growing rapidly. But two, more importantly, you have a big cost arbitrage. The cost of rent is cheaper. The cost of manpower is cheaper. The cost of line haul is cheaper. Your attrition is lower because, you know, these are, you know, less competitive labor markets than when you go into the top, you know, geos in a metro city. And we think that this is comfortably going to be a top 40 city phenomenon, which is anyway roughly $300 billion out of a $600-700 billion grocery market. So we think that this can be the largest grocery outcome in the country in the top 40 cities very comfortably.
So how soon do you see Zepto going from the current 10 cities to the 40 cities that you talked about?
Definitely this year, you're going to start seeing, you know, new cities getting launched. We're not taking it as aggressively in the short term because we're seeing the opportunity to just keep growing in our existing markets. And the more time we spend there, the more profitability is coming out of it, which is just giving us more cash eventually to put into more stores and more geographies.
So Adit, I wanted to ask you that. I'm curious because when you started off in 2021, it was the pure grocery play, right? What you would get in your neighborhood Kirana or your neighborhood supermarket. That is what you were targeting. And now you've entered categories like beauty, even jewelry is something I'm seeing on the app, electronics, fashion, all of that. Was that something you thought of or envisioned from day one? Or is it something that your customers are telling you or are coming to your platform and searching for it? And that is where you're actually looking at these new categories?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mugdha, I think you hit sort of the nail on the head in that example that you're using. Most of the assortment expansion we're doing right now is coming from customers. Customers are telling us that they want this in the search results, right? We keep looking at null searches. What were the search queries that we didn't have assortment for? And we just keep seeing opportunities there. And that's how new categories have bubbled up into the platform. For example, you know, we are 2 weeks into the launch of toys as a category on Zepto. And within 2 weeks, that category is run rating almost 100 crores annualized, right? Just toys. And it's growing. These are not just you know, small scale null searches, we got, you know, critical mass of scale where we're able to actually identify pretty well with statistically significant data that there is a critical mass of this category here. And that is an advantage, right? It helps us move fast in terms of adding more assortment and having a higher hit rate whenever we add a new category. So, you know, everything from toys, beauty and cosmetics, low ticket jewelry, fast moving apparel. This is a, you know, white Zep t-shirt that I got on Zepto, basics, right? So these categories we're very excited about.
Interesting. In fact, I mean, I'm hearing that players like you, Blinkit, etc., also talking to the large appliance players who can deliver, say, I think an AC in, I don't even know how that'll happen, but an AC in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So what are the different categories you think you will add on Zepto eventually?
Yeah, look, I think appliances and hardlines is an interesting category. Truth be told, we're still trying to figure out what's the best way that we can serve customers in our format and that. But the customers do definitely give us that feedback that there will be something that they'd be excited about. You know, in terms of where we think this goes, how many more categories we get into, to be honest with you, Mugdha, the answer is, I don't know. I think we're just, you know, we're innovating by the day right now.
So Adit, as you expand into new categories, you're competing with e-commerce players such as Flipkart and Amazon. But if quick commerce has to take on e-commerce, what would you need to do differently? Especially because you currently fulfill orders from much smaller dark stores, which are typically tucked into, say, basements of buildings, compared to the much larger fulfillment centers and warehouses that Amazon and Flipkart have.
Very honest answer is, and I think I've mentioned this to you earlier, so I don't really look at us as competing with Amazon Flipkart. To be quite frank, I think the category that we are building is going to be a lot larger than Amazon Flipkart. I see sort of no real incentive to compete with them in fashion or electronics. I think they've built phenomenal businesses there. My personal bias, obviously, is that grocery is the best business in the world. That being said, you know, obviously, when customers come in and tell us, hey, this is something that I want to buy, this is something that I want to buy on Zepto, then we figure out how to make it work. And obviously, now we've expanded our assortment to north of 10,000 SKUs. But, you know, we will figure out some sort of innovation on the tech side, on the supply chain design and storage design side, to be able to continue to expand whenever customers ask us to expand.
Right. But we did have a chat earlier. You said that there would be a need for bigger dark stores as well, right? And are you going in that direction, especially given that your SKU count is now growing? And also the fact that Amazon and Flipkart have a long tail of SKUs, right? And that is that something that you would play differently? Would you only keep a limited set of SKUs in a particular category, in a particular product?
So, you know, on the first question, which is on the store expansion, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we were, you know, adjusting our stores because we see the opportunity, not just because of assortment expansion, but even in terms of the throughput per square foot that we're delivering in our stores. But that's more tactical, right? It's not like we're 3xing our store count. It's more like 30, 35% increases, 25% increases, right? On the second question on how we look at that assortment, so it's a good question. And at the risk of sort of sounding evasive, I'll just tell you bluntly that we're still figuring it out. What is the right framework on assortment? Should we go, you know, narrow in a category but have multiple more categories? Should we go deep in one category but a small number of categories? There are all sorts of questions, right? But it's TBD as we speak, and we're having live conversations.
And another important aspect of e-commerce is the fact that I can return the products if I don't like it, because that's where the trust comes in. On Zepto, currently, at least till you were delivering mainly groceries, returns was not an option. Are you going to enable product returns for customers as you expand into these categories such as fashion and beauty and jewelry, etc.?
So we are absolutely like looking into, you know, into returns, especially getting into categories that's more commonplace. And look, I mean, it's a relatively solvable, slightly tactical thing to operationalize, right? So I think the answer to the question is absolutely. You know, as customers come in and tell us that this is a priority for them, you know, we're gonna explore it more deeply. Again, very early stages right now, but yeah, we're figuring that out as we speak. And I think we're getting similar feedback to what you said, and we're gonna see that.
I want to talk also about the profitability part of it, because I think that was a big question mark about how sustainable this model is. And seems like players are moving in that direction well. But then when you're expanding into new categories, and we talked about the cost of, say, you know, bigger dark stores, and if at all you do product returns, there are costs there. How will the expansion into new categories impact your profitability?
So all these categories are accretive to profitability for us, Mugdha. And I think the reason why that is because if you look at the AOV into margin for these categories, they actually are, the delta is much, much higher than, let's say, core FMCG and grocery. And I think the, you know, that delta is much higher. The goodness that we get is much higher than the incremental logistics cost. So net-net, it becomes EBITDA accretive. But yeah, look, I think in our case, we are very close to profitability. We should hit fully EBITDA positive if you continue this trajectory in 4 to 5 months, right? And while continue to grow well over 100% plus year on year, we've gone from zero to well over $1 billion in sales, EBITDA positive in about 36 months. I think the good part about Zepto, where we got lucky, is that there was an intense bear market in early 2022, which is when the company was just 6-7 months old. And that has instilled a deep-seated culture of frugality and fiscal discipline.
We talked about the cost part of it. I also wanted to speak about the revenue aspect, because that has also evolved quite a lot in the last year or so. And that's because you've started charging delivery fees, platform fees, etc. from customers. You also now have a subscription play as well in the form of Zepto Pass. And on the sellers and the brand side, we understand from brands that the commissions, and not just on Zepto, but even on Blinkit and other platforms, is as high as, say, 25-30%. And plus, you know, the ad rates have also gone up because of the popularity of these apps. Can you just talk to us a little bit about how the revenue model has changed in the past year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first I'll touch on delivery fees, right? Actually, you know, month on month, our delivery fees have come down because we launched Zepto Pass, right? We've got 2 million subscribers contributing to the majority of orders, getting unlimited free delivery. So actually, you can see our delivery fees are dependency are slightly going down month on month. Our philosophy on profitability has always been, let's not try to squeeze out so much money from the customer. Let's try to get through profitability with as much efficiency as we possibly can. You know, last mile cost excellence, throughput per square foot management, forecasting discipline to reduce wastage, you know, sourcing leverage, manpower productivity in our dark stores, our line haul, you know, storage and shrinkage management. Everything is just a tight ops process. And I think that's been our biggest advantage, that pure play operating excellence and supply chain DNA. You know, in terms of the second point that you mentioned, we have, you know, really expanded on the ad revenue side. We've gone from zero to hundreds of crores of ad revenue in the matter of 18 months. And this is pure play bottom line revenue for us.
Right. You just talked about the fact that you built out Zepto in a bear market. And, you know, there were questions that Zepto is one standalone player in this sector, in the quick commerce sector, because we saw Blinkit being acquired by Zomato, you know, Big Basket was acquired by Tata's, Dunzo by Reliance, etc. We understand there were a lot of companies interested at one point about a year or two ago to acquire Zepto. And now with players like Flipkart, Amazon, etc., looking to re-enter and, you know, re-evaluate the quick commerce space, are you seeing any such interest again?
Look, I think I've told a couple of people this, but I'm a little bit crazy. I actually think, you know, Zepto's become my identity. I don't really know what I would do if I wasn't doing this, and I don't think that, you know, we would be in that position or in an interest to sell. But even with, for example, a company like Flipkart, great company, them wanting to come into the space, especially since they had so much skepticism a year and a half, 2 years ago, it's just great validation for the space. And so we actually looked at this very positively. I think we got a, you know, call from our investors saying, like, you look very good right now. This is a big validation of the space. So we're excited.
Clearly, Adith is very confident about the quick commerce story. And it's not just about customers who are happy. Brands, especially D2C brands, are eager to ride the quick commerce wave too. Speaking about the rise of quick commerce, Kaushik Mukherjee, co-founder Sugar Cosmetics, told ET Prime that initially when the company was partnering with quick commerce, they were only working with their primary brand, which is Sugar. As of today, the company has all three of its brands, namely Sugar, Sugar Pop, which is the more affordable brand extension of the main brand, and Quench, its skincare brand, on these quick commerce channel platforms. Sugar Cosmetics, with all of its three brands, is doing nearly 1.5 to 2 crore rupees worth of business per month from these channels. Similarly, premium men's innerwear brand XYXS's founder, Yogesh Kabra, told ET Prime that almost 15% of their revenue for the month of February 2024 was generated by quick commerce channel. These are honestly not small numbers.
Absolutely. A beauty brand that I was speaking to said that for the limited SKUs that they're currently selling on quick commerce, they're seeing almost equal sales on Blinkit and Zepto as they are on Flipkart. But while everyone seems upbeat about quick commerce, it's also important to remember that it's not been an easy run for everyone. Remember that there were more than 10 active players in quick commerce till recently, as per analysts. However, several players, including some well-funded ones, folded early. For instance, why did Dunzo fizzle out? The company, which had entered the 10 to 15 minute delivery race in 2022, was apparently too hasty and aggressive in opening up dark stores and spending on marketing, especially during the IPL season that year, as per people in the know. In fact, in FY23, Dunzo's losses had shot up to 1,800 crore rupees for revenue of only around 220 crore rupees. Flipkart had also quickly shut down its Flipkart Quick vertical by late 2022 after realizing that the unit economics was not working out. Swiggy Instamart has seen EBITDA losses of over 1,000 crore rupees on revenues of a little under 1,000 crore rupees in the first three quarters of FY24. However, Blinkit may just buck this trend as parent company Zomato expects it to be operationally profitable by the June quarter. Though in the December quarter, Blinkit still had EBITDA losses of 89 crore rupees. And you also heard from Adit of Zepto, who expects profitability in the next few months itself. Shobhori, you spoke to Devangshu Datta, founder of Third Eyesight Retail Consultant, about how the costs pan out in quick commerce, especially compared to the traditional offline model. So let's listen into that.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Devangshu sir. Very excited to have you with us on The Morning Brief.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's good to be part of this conversation.
Could you tell us, like, you know, how big is the retail market of India and what is the split like between online and offline? And within the online space, now we have quick commerce and e-commerce fulfilling all our shopping requirements.
If I were to round it off, 90% of the business is offline, 10% is online, perhaps lower, significantly lower actually than 10%. And within that, there is even, let's say, businesses that would be recording their revenues together, which are online businesses or online predominant businesses, a good chunk of their revenue is now starting to come offline as well, as stores have been opened, physical stores have been opened across the country, and as they have acquired offline businesses. We are finding, as any kind of new wave comes in, quick commerce has grown, and it has grown at a very rapid pace, perhaps even almost doubling over the last 2 years, more than doubling, in fact, over the last 2 years. It's still very small as a fraction. It's a fraction of the entire business. I'd just like to mention that if you are burning cash, you can acquire market share, but it's not necessarily sustainable. It's got to make sense in the longer term.
Could you elaborate a little bit? What are the costs like? Like, if you could tell us what are the different is the cost structure for, let's say, a quick commerce versus a e-commerce versus a Kirana store?
So in the simplest sense, let's look at quick commerce. If you're transacting with a consumer on an impulse buy, and I'm not even getting into, you know, buying a packet of chips, which is 20, 30, 50 rupees or whatever. But even if you look at a slightly higher value purchase, which may be 300 to 500 rupees, and you're paying, say, 20, 25, 30 rupees to a rider, you're essentially sacrificing a whole lot of, if not the entire margin from that product transaction. Right. And that's not accounting for the other costs which are there of maintaining inventory in a dark store and so on. If you look at a physical retail store, obviously there is the higher cost of real estate. So there's the fit out cost. There's going to be staffing costs, which are going to be significantly higher than, let's say, a dark store, because you're going to be wanting customer facing staff who need to be equipped better, maybe paid higher salaries. So there is that difference. But at the end of it, it comes down to how profitable is the transaction on a per transaction basis. Can you make money? Quick commerce is, a little bit of a distance away from that. I think they're still burning money, even on a per transaction basis.
What is the margin like on an average transaction when it is from an e-commerce versus Kirana store?
Margin is an aggregate of the products that you're selling. And I think we are seeing a change in that as well. So if you look at a typical grocery product, you would be perhaps single digit margins to, you know, just about 10 plus, between 10 and 20%. If you look at, on the other hand, fashion, footwear, home, etc., the margins would be significantly higher in a few tens of percentages. Now, I think while the quick commerce companies started with the basic grocery products, that was great to build a certain frequency of business, build a certain stickiness for the business. They have no choice but to increase their footprint into other product categories. Having said that, there is also a limitation to the number of SKUs that you can actually service through quick commerce. Because let's not forget that the footprint, the geographical footprint that a quick commerce dark store can realistically service is tight and will be in areas where there are lots of consumers, where there's a lot of demand density. And those are the areas where real estate will also be expensive. So you can't have a very large store. You'll have to have a store which is focused on high demand products. So I think it's still evolving. Having said that, once you kind of have a predictability of demand in your business, then perhaps you could also make up the margin through an aggregate in terms of the basket. So we're not talking about, you know, one product or two products being bought. We would then look at a basket of 10, 15 products, which on aggregate will give you enough money so that the rider's journey is profitable. You know, it's not just the cost of delivery. You are actually able to recover much more than that.
When it comes to Kirana stores, the number of brands that are there are limited, right? So do you think that the brand selection of quick commerce is also something that is having an impact in as to how they are developing? And if yes, could you tell us a little bit more about what kind of brands are doing well?
Yeah, so I think the newer brands, which kind of target the new age customer, it's a win-win, both for online and quick commerce businesses, as well as the new brands themselves, where if you look at a typical Kirana store and the large FMCG brands, it's a very cozy, it's a very comfortable relationship. And nobody really wants to shift that because it's worked, you know, it's worked over decades. And it has been developed over decades, and the distribution relationships are stable and so on and so forth. And, you know, all of that servicing happens. It's a very comfortable world. When a new brand wants to step in, they find it difficult to find shelf space in a well-established Kirana store. Or I would say even in a large corporate supermarket or convenience store chain. Mm-hmm. So for them, it becomes easier to go direct to consumer on their own website and other channels, as well as approach it through quick commerce or a similar model, right?
You mentioned how quick commerce continues to be a very, very niche channel still, right? But what is the potential of the channel?
So I would ask you to cast your mind back, if you can, 25 years ago. I can, certainly, because I was there at that juncture looking at the number of companies that were raising funding for this whole new dot-com boom, right? And it was about wiping out the existing formats of retail and commerce and, you know, replacing the entire thing. And within the next 10 years, e-commerce was going to become 25-30% of the total amount of business which was going to be done, and so on and so forth. We are very far away from those predictions still, even after 25 years, right? Or even, you know, we've overshot that by a good number of decades, in fact. Similar kind of hype was seen, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago when quick commerce started being pushed. Having said that, I'd like to reflect back on what I said earlier, that I see retail as one. There are bound to be multiple formats which will cater to different customer sets or even different customer needs, even of the same customer set. So I, as a customer, am not a monolith in my behavior. I behave in different ways depending on where I am, what I'm doing, what my life circumstances are at a particular point of time. And that determines which channel I will buy from.
Last year, consumers bought goods worth a little over $3.5 billion or 28,000 crore rupees through the quick commerce channels. That's still a very, very small fraction of the total grocery sales in the country. But quick commerce is expected to grow rapidly, with some analysts expecting the market to expand to $40 billion by 2030. This means that the market can grow at a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 45% over the next 7 years. But it's still a long haul before quick commerce can overtake Amazon and Flipkart. Each of them currently fulfills as many as 25 lakh orders daily, while players like Zepto and Blinkit are currently doing around 5 to 7 lakh orders a day. These are, of course, very early days for quick commerce, and even many critics of the 10-minute dash are now positive on the sector. But the validation for this space will truly be hinged on how quickly these quick commerce companies turn profitable and sustain that profitability. That's all in this episode from Shobori and me, Mugdha. This episode was produced by Surohini Jain, sound editor Amrit Reggie, executive producers Anirban Chaudhary and Arijit Barman. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Tune in to ET Play for all audio content. You can listen to our podcasts on all major podcast streaming platforms. Thank you for listening and have a great day ahead.